News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 807. All right, and here's the weather we've been waiting on here today, and a little nippy tonight, right?
Yeah. What did he say? The low tonight, when we were talking with Dr. Bill earlier. So tomorrow night, we're going to get some really low temperatures.
Oh, yeah.
In the, low tonight around 43, low tomorrow night around 43, and then by Friday night, we'll have lows in the upper 30s. So we'll finally get that first real taste of fall this week with those cold fronts moving through.
Real taste of football weather in finally gets here, round three.
Yeah,
so
we're headed to the end of the college of the high school football playoffs, and finally some cooler weather, so some players may be able to wear the longer sleeve dry fit underneath underneath the pads. Uh-huh. Finally, start to look like the little fall football, but only several teams remaining in our area. So we'll talk a lot about the high school football playoffs coming up on Friday, and also that conversation with Paul Feinbaum that we have every week. It's interesting. On one hand, Dan, you and I and our other podcast, we're talking about these college football playoff rankings and just how jumbled up the SEC is.
Yeah.
And then in our other life, the whole conversation is about the Trump transition team, which in many ways is like rolling out the college football playoff rankings.
Yeah.
Kind of is. It's the Trump playoff rankings.
Yeah.
Who he feels loyal to, who he's made deals with. And it seems the last thing on Trump's mind is whether or not the Senate has the votes to confirm some of these nominees or not. But they're kind of similar, aren't they?
They really
watching
are.
The football rankings come out and seeing the Trump rankings in real time.
Trump, and he does it in a way from his, you know, he just has this understanding of timing like the TV guy he was, you know. He just kind of gets it, how you build suspense or how you get the names out there, the rhythm of making the announcements, you know.
And they said, you know, this time is a lot different than the last time when Trump came into office.
Big time.
The first time, and that he kind of liked the show, right? Mm-hmm. It was a lot more for him that first time, like The Apprentice, where I think they did it all from Trump Tower in New York, and he was parading people. If I remember correctly, may have been at Mar-a-Lago as well, but certainly Trump Tower, where he was parading people through the lobby. You'd get a bunch of pictures of him. They'd come back down the elevator. How was your conversation with Trump? So it was all about the show then, and I think he latched on to some lifetime D.C. bureaucrats to help him make that transition into political life.
Yeah.
Maybe went with a lot more of their suggestions than he should have, and he's just doing things his way now. Even Lutnick, who he named yesterday, and we'll get into that here in a little bit, but Lutnick, who was the transition team chairman, remember he was going out on the Sunday morning shows and saying, RFK won't have a spot here. This is what we're thinking of doing in this department. That all went out the window. As soon as the election ended, Lutnick, even though he had the title of transition team chairman, it's all Trump. He picked RFK for HHS. He picked Gates for AG.
And they were not necessarily on the same page, obviously.
Right, yeah.
One of his selections was made a couple of weeks ago. Of course, he campaigned attacking Vice President Kamala Harris for her performance, if you want to call it that, as the borders are. So now he's created and filled that position for his new administration. He recently announced that Tom Holman, you've seen him on interviews here, and when you see him, you know immediately right where this guy stands.
Yeah.
Right? He's going to take that role, putting him in charge of, quote from Trump, the southern border, the northern border, all maritime and aviation security. And Holman spoke on his three-pronged plans. Here's Holman.
First of all, we got to secure the border. We know how to do that. We've done it before. Second of all, we need to run this deportation operations. The president's been clear. We're going out of the gate, we're going to focus on public safety threats and national security threats first. And fugitives, those who cross the border legally, had great due process, had great taxpayer expense, were order removed by an immigration judge and didn't leave. They're also a priority. And third rail, we got to find over 300,000 children that were released into this country to so-called sponsors that the government can't find. We also got to find them children and try to save them.
300,000 children are... We don't know where they are.
It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
It is. Now, some Democrat governors are saying they're not going to comply. This is Arizona's Katie Hobbs.
I will not tolerate actions that harm Arizonans, that harm our communities, and quite honestly, divert resources from providing real security at our border.
Interesting. I mean, her state is on the border, and she's taking that stance. She's, of course, a Democrat, as is Illinois' J.B. Pritzker.
The idea of calling out, you know, the army into the domestic confines of the United States seems uncalled for.
Now, if you think that Holman shaking in his boots when he hears quotes like that, you would be highly incorrect.
Yeah.
Holman, former cop somewhere in the state of New York. He sounds like he's more of an upstate guy than the city, New York City. But anyway, he's the border czar.
Yeah, former acting ICE director.
Exactly. So he knows his way around here. He also happens to know his way around the law when it comes to all of this. And he's got this warning for Hobbs and Pritzker and the likes of them.
Well, first of all, if they don't help us get the hell out of the way, we're going to do it. If I got to send twice the amount of resources to that city, that's what we're going to do. If they would give us access to the jail, that would mean less agents in the community. For them pushing back and not letting us in the jail, it just means more agents are going to be in the community, so they're hurting themselves. Finally, I'll say this. They need to educate themselves. They need to review this. Title 8, United States Code, 1324, triple I. Read about that and don't cross that line, because it is a felony to harbor and conceal an illegal alien from ICE. Read the statute. Don't cross that line.
How about Hobbs going to jail if she's going to stick to her guns? Or Pritzker. So he's, you know, I like that, because it's not, yeah, you know, back and forth arguing. He's like, look, I'm a tough guy. This is a tough job. I'm going to do my job. If you get in my way, get out of my way. And finally, the law is on my side.
Mm-hmm.
So don't cross that line.
Yeah, that'll be interesting if these sanctuary cities keep putting up the fight that Hobbs and Pritzker and some of these others claim that they will, because, you know, it's federal law that they're breaking. Even though they call themselves a sanctuary city,
right,
it's still federal law, and a lot of similarities to the way the United States, you know, treats marijuana these days. Still federally illegal, but state by state you see them legalizing, and then the feds just kind of keep their hands off, right? So same thing with immigration here. Feds have been hands off on so many of these sanctuary cities for so long. Now that the rubber's meeting the road, or should begin to meet the road here in a couple months, I know Holman quick to reach into the Constitution there and single out the exact law that would be broken by these sanctuary cities, but will the feds have enough stones to act on them, right? And directly go against what mayor of a city may be.
Or governor
may be saying, yeah.
So I think with the law, his personality, add the law, I think, yes. Also, you can see now, there's so many people on the left that are just stunned by this result. And they were basically stunned by their own arrogance and ignorance and their stupidity, really, that they didn't see this coming. I know you have a great argument for the Piers Morgan show.
Hopefully get to that once I edit out some of the bad language.
That's what you talk about, these shows becoming shouting matches post-election. It's completely off the rails.
Yeah, I saw somebody on, what was it, Fox News the other day who was just, you know, said the S word several times. I'm like, wow.
Is that okay?
Used to not be cool to do that, but I guess things change.
Well, what I'm asking you, Dalton, is now the American people are invested in all of this, they obviously, the mandate is the people that came illegally, obviously the criminals and any of those gang members, they've all got to go. They've got to go. So he says he's going to get them gone.
Mm-hmm.
If there is then resistance from governors and or mayors, how did the American people respond to that? And what does that respond? Will it play a role in those governors? You can't vote them out in March.
That's a good point, because the PR battle is going to be so big when it comes to these deportations and just the optics of how things are getting done. You can go about it the Holman way and just do it and not really care what the optics look like. Just say you have the law on your side and the mandate of the American people. But you just know that as soon as the first female
crying
or child or teenager is deported, and the first time that the media is able to get images or footage of that it'll be everywhere. It'll be front page. It'll be on the cover of Time magazine. Can you believe they're doing this to the youth that came here to America searching for a better life. And there will be a lot of people, even a lot of conservative Republicans who voted for deportation, who kind of clam up and say, no, not like this. This isn't. But Homan and the Trump team's been really clear that the deportations will start with the dangerous people. There are already so many people who, you know, while a lot of illegals some who have come for safety purposes to America, a lot of them have already had their parole hearings, and a lot of them have already been denied citizenship, mm-hmm. but still stuck around. So you start with the drug dealers, you start with the murder suspects, the really violent criminals.
People who are criminals in their own country.
People who are criminals there, but more so the people who are criminals here currently yeah. behind bars. You start with them.
Yeah,
that
should
get a whole lot of pushback.
They're already incarcerated. Got it.
They're already incarcerated. You go after those who are violent but maybe haven't committed a crime here, if you're able to get that information. And then I think next up, they said after the violent and dangerous illegal alien criminals, they would restart maybe job site raids mm-hmm. and going into these different construction sites and just checking to see who's legal, who has their papers, and who doesn't, and then hopefully holding some of these, you know, businesses accountable who are hiring these illegal aliens
right.
and paying them less in wages than they would an American that would be hired for the same job. So you start with the dangerous criminals, you move on to those who are working illegally, and then after that, who knows? But you're right, the PR battle is going to be massive on this, because Republicans, you got to. Deportation, it could get ugly.
It could get ugly.
There's a possibility it gets ugly, but there's also a good chance that some of these illegals see others being taken out of the country, and maybe they decide to do it on their own.
Yeah, I don't know.
Leave on their own.
Which, how do you say scram in Spanish? But that might be what they do. Just get out of the way. Get back on their own.
This texture says, Trump has said he's going to do away with sanctuary cities. Yeah, it's kind of what Homan was saying there as well. This texture, I believe the commie, this is Jerry, I believe the commie governor will change her mind after spending a few years in federal prison. Well, out in Arizona is where they have that really nice federal prison, right? That's where Tommy Chong got sent, also the Wolf of Wall Street when he was arrested. They put you out in this like country club prison where you play tennis and get the water that they put vegetables in, like cucumbers and stuff like that.
They've converted the tennis courts to pickleball, by the way.
They probably have. So I guess maybe that would be the country club prison that Hobbs would be going to. Chris says, do you really think Gates and the guy from Fox will get confirmed for the job? I think so. I think you'll see more and more senators get in line, especially for Hegseth. Gates might be the longest shot they have, but how will McConnell vote? That's one of the interesting. So you have, you know, Murkowski,
yep.
You have Susan Collins.
Yes,
those are the two probably toughest eggs for Trump to crack.
Right,
but McConnell may be the toughest, as he still holds his Senate role, and then there's probably five or six more senators who will be kind of tough to persuade. But I think both of them end up through even. Whether they use recess appointments or not. And this texter here says, the plant farms and Sims have to be in the crosshairs. What they've allowed to do our community is sickening. So I'm not sure what that, maybe Jason talking about illegal aliens working jobs or something like that. So keep the text coming, 251-343-0106. Also seeing a bad wreck. Damn Yankee says, big wreck, 65 southbound north of Moffitt. SUV yeah. and two semi-trucks involved, 65 southbound north of Moffitt Road.
Wow. It is 8:20 on Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton. Mobile Mornings, that text line, 251-343-0106. Use that text line as you wish. And also, if you want us to turn up your voice, we can do it right there as well. 8:24, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Good to have you along. Talk about turning up your voice. We're going to do that right now. Freddie's on the line. Freddie, what's going on?
Hey, man. I want to preface my remarks by saying I haven't voted for President Trump none of the three times, and for me it was basically a trust issue. That said, I'm willing to take it and say, okay, it's his choices, his picks, and I like where they're going with the immigration thing. And I was thinking about, you know, you just take a dog and you throw him into a deep body of water, and all the fleas would go to his head. So leave the sanctuary cities open. I got news for you. When you start rounding up all these illegal immigrants, they're all going to these sanctuary cities. make them easier to collect. I'm just saying.
You know what, Freddie? That's not a bad idea. It's actually really interesting because we saw once Governor Abbott and DeSantis started sending illegals to these sanctuary cities, how they reacted then. So if you just don't do anything about it and you start enforcing immigration law elsewhere, your flea analogy there, they will go to the sanctuary cities, and then those cities, the people that live there will probably be like, wow, this is a big problem. We need to maybe end this sanctuary city crap.
And I think they're saying it already, you know, in Chicago and in New York City. They're like, this is out of control.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I haven't lost my mind or run around with my hair on fire or nothing, and it's falling out too fast for me to do that. But, the other part of that is that, you know, I think you got to, everybody's losing their mind, and he hadn't even been inaugurated. So I'm willing to wait and see. I mean, I'm willing to wait and see and give the governor a chance. And unlike the governors, I think they need to take, instead of trying to work against him, let's see what we can do to work with him.
I thank you, Freddie. I appreciate that a lot. Mm-hmm. How about that? Never voted for Trump.
Yeah, 0-for-3 voting for Trump, but willing to give him a chance here with the deportation. C.B. Carl says when they start the deportations, the construction sites over here in Baldwin County are going to get quiet real soon. Says hardly anyone on the new subdivision job sites speak English anymore. I will just, you know, remind you, and a lot of you already know this, but just because someone maybe doesn't speak English well, and is working on a job site doesn't necessarily mean they're illegal, right? Mm-hmm. There's plenty of ways to legally work as an immigrant.
Well, Ronald Acuna Jr. is five years in the league,
for instance,
and would rather not speak English, even, you know. So,
just a reminder that they're not all companies are hiring illegal aliens, but that I think will be one of the first stops for Holman and the rest of the Trump deportation team.
Yeah.
Ken says, out of all the things Trump was accused of, the American people still voted for him. So what accusations for appointed positions really matter to the American people? I guess you're talking about the controversial nominees Trump has listed there. If Trump was the ultimate controversial nominee and people are still voting for him, then what are a couple other controversial nominees that he would have working under him? That's a good point there.
Yeah.
You could just tell the Senate, hey, you voted for Trump. What's wrong with Hegseth? What's wrong with Gates? Let's see. His texter says Trump has said he's going to do away with sanctuary cities. Also, some texts on guy cry movies. Maybe we'll get into that more here in the second half of the hour. 251-343-0106. Also notable yesterday, Dan, some of the other nominees Trump named. Dr. Oz back in the fold as the he will run the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. So Dr. Oz will be working under Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
That'd be fun.
In the Trump administration. If you would have said that 6, 7, 8 years ago, you would have sounded like an insane person.
No, I'm saying it's lining up more like Hollywood Squares.
And they'll probably do this the same way they do Ben Carson. You know, you'll hear that Dr. Oz is an idiot, a blowhard. And, you know, he is a blowhard. Doesn't mean he's an idiot. The guy was a heart surgeon.
Yeah.
So I think it takes some smarts to get to the top of that profession and then daytime TV. So a smart guy. He lost that Senate race to Fetterman, but Oz as Medicare and Medicaid services head. And then speaking of showmen and showwomen, Linda McMahon will be the Department of Education Secretary. She was the small business administrator or the administrator of the Small Business Administration that first Trump term.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah, so and she is the wife of Vince McMahon with the WWE, and she's been a close Trump ally since before he even ran back in 2016. So it's just some of the newer names put out there by Trump yesterday. You got McMahon, Dr. Oz, and Lutnick as the Commerce Secretary.
830 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton.
FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Coming back to the phone calls and texts here in just a minute. 251-343-0106. This segment brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog is the place to play. If you're a sports fan who's looking to win some money while you watch sports, hey, we're already watching the game. Might as well win money while you do so. And with Underdog Fantasy, you could win up to 1,000 times your money just by choosing higher or lower on players' stats like passing yards, touchdowns, three-pointers, goals, things of that nature. Underdog also now putting the power to cash out in your hands. Now you can either keep riding with your entry or tap the Win Now button to cash out whenever you want. And with Underdog's double flex option, you can even take two losses, two L's, and still have your entry be a win. On a night like tonight, for instance, you have some college football with the MAC conference. You've got some college basketball, some NBA. Now, you could either stick with one sport and pick a couple different entries in that sport, maybe from one game, or you can mix and match sports like I like to do. And the more players you put into that entry, remember, the more money you could win. This season, Underdog will be running a special, a promo, or a bonus almost every single day, like profit boosts, discounts, and free picks. All you have to do is download the app, Underdog Fantasy, sign up with the promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, and you'll deposit now and get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. $1,000 in bonus cash. All you have to do is download the Underdog Fantasy app, use promo code Dalton, and you're good to go. Must be 19 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply, and if you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. 837 here, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Dan Brennan stepping out for the rest of this morning. He'll be back bright and early tomorrow. And, of course, the Jeff Poor Show will follow our show today just after 9, and April Marie Fogle in for Sean Sullivan today on Midday Mobile. Looking at the text line, let's see, CB Carl says, I didn't mean to sound like a bigot, but the culture on the larger construction sites have changed drastically in the last few years. No, I'm CB Carl, I know you personally. I know that you're not that kind of guy at all. I'm just, you know, pointing out that if you're expecting when these deportations happen that every farm in our area, every industrial site in our area will be completely picked clean because everyone around here hires illegals. I'm just saying that's not the case. And I don't think that you think that's the case either. Just kind of making sure we know where we stand. Houndstooth says, I work in all those new subdivisions in Baldwin County, and they've already started self-deporting since the election. Houndstooth says there's way less workers out there since the election. That is, if that's accurate, Houndstooth, that's pretty notable, I would say. This texter says, let's see, if it was not for illegal immigrants, your cell phone wouldn't work as well as it does. Your home fiber internet service wouldn't work as well as it does. Says, I work for a large corporation who does not hire illegal immigrants. Instead, we hire contractors who hire subcontractors who hire the illegal immigrants. Says, you name the company, they all do it. You want to slow the growth in Baldwin County? Tell all contractors who don't hire illegal immigrants to stop hiring subcontractors who hire illegal immigrants. So good stretch of text there. I'd like to know what you mean. If it wasn't for illegal immigrants, your cell phone wouldn't work as well as it does, and your fiber internet service wouldn't work as well as it does. What do you mean by that exactly? Michael, talking about some of the ordinances here. Maybe we'll get into this as we wrap the show up these last 30 minutes. The discussion in Mobile City Council yesterday. So Michael says, the city already has enough ordinances to deal with the homeless. The police just don't enforce any of them. What's the point in making more when they don't use the tools that they already have? And I guess that's kind of similar to our conversation here about illegal immigration. And hey, it's illegal. Why aren't you enforcing the law? Same thing with the sanctuary cities. You can call yourself a sanctuary city, but what you're doing is still illegal according to federal law. So Michael kind of pointing out, I guess, similarities to that and what was discussed yesterday at the council. So if you missed it this morning, City Council poised now to pass three ordinances, and they were very clear on this. Remember, I think it was Ben Reynolds, Councilman Reynolds, a couple years ago who started bringing up homeless folks and what do they call it? Just basically being in the right of way when you see the homeless on, you know, trailways and sidewalks, things that normally you would say folks could go out and use if they're utilizing the city parks and the county parks and other areas. Well, Reynolds kind of started this fight a couple years ago, and I don't really think it went anywhere then. But yesterday you had the council's public safety committee discussing these ordinances, which had been revised. They would codify park hours, prohibit the blocking of sidewalks, and ban aggressive solicitation. I think most of us out there have been on one side of that aggressive solicitation at one point or another. This could make the amendments eligible for a vote at the next regular council meeting, which is coming up next Tuesday. Executive Director of Public Safety Rob Lasky said the ordinances were in need of updates. He said they're incredibly old. For instance, the sidewalk ordinance discusses firewood and cotton being placed on a sidewalk. So the amended ordinance, which again sets for vote next week, would prohibit the blocking of sidewalks, including parked vehicles. This is obviously dealing with more than just the homeless population. I guess there have been a lot of complaints, especially downtown, that vehicles are blocking sidewalks as folks are trying to walk to lunch or back to the workplace or wherever it may be. Committee Chairwoman Gina Gregory said that drivers parking on sidewalks is an issue all over the city and that it needs to be addressed. But you also have businesses downtown who are complaining about loitering and large groups doing the loitering. Lasky said the revised park ordinance would simply codify the hours that are already listed at parks all over the city. So like Michael pointed out there on the text line, they're basically just saying they're going to enforce the rules as they stand. While some parks close at dark, some others have hours that extend past that, like at Sage and Lavretta. Councilman Josh Woods said the ordinances are needed because he's seen camping in West Side Park, and he's also seen loitering in the Medal of Honor Park there between Knollwood and Hillcrest. I've seen that quite a bit over the years as well. Lasky said we've had problems with bathrooms in several areas. There are time locks on the doors, but people prop them open and don't allow them to close. And then finally, third ordinance discussed here, banning what the city calls aggressive solicitation. A lot of complaints downtown and in West Mobile, places you would expect. Lasky said this is about bold and reckless behavior, people coming up using aggressive tactics and not taking no for an answer. We're just trying to update the ordinance and give our officers more tools. So notable, I think, that the council was discussing these things yesterday. But yeah, how drastic is it? Is the change from what has already been considered illegal here in Mobile? Maz says, to Dan's point on Ronald Acuna Jr. not speaking English, when I was in pro ball, the organization I was with wanted to require Americans to take Spanish classes and not require the Latin players to take English classes. Maz says, I wouldn't go as I thought they should learn English, not the other way around. And this texter's responding regarding the, he says, look at any subdivision, AT&T or C Spire, Comcast, Mediacom, the underground is all being installed by subcontractors pulling the fiber or coax. So, you're saying that if it weren't for the illegal immigrants, cell phone service and fiber internet wouldn't work as well as it does. I'd say it would. If you had legal citizens laying that fiber or putting those 5G towers up, then yeah, it would work just as well. So it's not that it works well because it's illegals doing the job. It just works well because the job was done and illegals happen to be doing the job. Doesn't make what they were doing legal. Terry says, before you decide to make something a violation of law, ask yourself this. Is it worth someone dying over? Every time we enact a law or an ordinance, we empower the police to enforce that law. Each police contact has the possibility of leading to someone dying. And let's see, Fire Dog says, is having Dan beg people to listen to 106.5 during his walks aggressive solicitation? Yeah, I don't know if Dan is doing the aggressive solicitation when he goes out for those daily walks or not, but it's probably something that something that we need to discuss. 844 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. The other thing I wanted to get into here was the big announcement in Gulf Shores yesterday and the battle of the airports as Mobile International and the terminal down there at Brooklee, as the construction continues on that. And then, you know, in the next year and a half, we'll see the movement of all of the different planes and things you need out at Mobile Regional for an airline to run. We'll see that slow transition of moving everything to Brooklee. And then yesterday you get the announcement from Gulf Shores. Hey, we're in the game too. And they announced that Allegiant Air will be offering 6 destinations. So you'll be able to fly from Gulf Shores, depending on the time of year, out to 6 cities and fly back. Now, 2 of these, according to Allegiant Air, will be year-round flights. And that would be to the Northern Kentucky International Airport, which will put you right there next to Cincinnati. And of course, you'd be in northern Kentucky. I guess that would be the closest to Ohio there. So that's one of the year-round flights. Then you have year-round to Mid-America St. Louis Airport, which will put you just east of downtown St. Louis. Those are the two that will be on a year-round schedule. And then four more that will be seasonal. It looks like, at least to start, these will all be during the summer months. You have flights to and from Knoxville and the McGee-Tyson Airport, to and from Houston's William P. Hobby Airport, flights to and from the Northwest Arkansas National Airport, and to and from Kansas City International. And this is a tight timeline. So they expect the terminal that they're building, which $8 million, temporary commercial passenger terminal, two gates to start with, 17,500 square feet, and they have that being that construction project being wrapped up right around early May, and then they have these flights beginning, looks like for the most part, May 22nd. That is a tight, tight timeline. As far as how the money has come to the Gulf Shores Airport Authority, you had City Council authorize a $3 million loan to support the construction in August. You also have $5 million coming from Biden's Infrastructure Act. But they have to hire a lot of people here, too. 50 new employees they need before May. And also said need to make preparations to coordinate the coastal area's lodging business with shuttle services and also get rideshare and taxi services prepared as well for flights to begin in May there in Gulf Shores. And some folks on the text line wondering this morning what that means for Mobile International. And once that airport is moved to Brooklee, will these locations announced yesterday for Gulf Shores, would that sway you from coming to Mobile to fly out? Now, I guess once you have the airlines that are currently servicing Brooklee, I mean currently servicing Mobile Regional, once they move to Brooklee, you'll have similar destinations, I imagine, that you can fly into some of these big hubs. So that probably wouldn't change much for you, especially if you're doing connecting flights to even larger destinations that you can't get to directly from here. But this could, I think, really cut into the business they were expecting to come in through Mobile International. If you have folks flying out of Gulf Shores to, you know, Cincinnati, St. Louis, Knoxville, Houston, I imagine that's a problem. So we'll see how that affects things moving forward with Gulf Shores. And then, you know, who could Gulf Shores Airport add in addition to Allegiant Air? They add a couple more with more destinations like that, and they'll have a pretty good portion of the country covered. You can fly right out of or to the beach. And also that ought to help at least maybe a little bit with traffic instead of having those folks driving over on I-10 and then down 59 or down the Beach Express, fly right on into Gulf Shores. 848 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Jump on the text line or phone line, 251-343-0106. Coming up, Jeff Poor. I'll see if he can join me before his show gets started just after 9 right here on Mobile Mornings. Thank you, Kane. 853 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on a Wednesday. Coming up in minutes, the Jeff Poor Show. Joining us now, as he does every Wednesday, Jeff Poor. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course. Always enjoy it, and always enjoy your guests as well. Who do you have coming up on today's show?
We'll kick it off here in a little while with Congressman Barry Moore, who is the, I guess, congressman-elect for the 1st Congressional District, but serving out the remainder of his term as the congressman for the 2nd Congressional District. Also, we got Joey Clark from News Talk 93.1, and then my colleague at Breitbart News, Bradley Jay, in that 11 o'clock hour.
So, Barry Moore, of course, now the AL1 congressman, after having been AL2's congressman for so long. When do these committee announcements start coming out? I know it's a big deal, and we really haven't talked about it much this year to this point, but we always talk about what committees Jerry Carl's on and Barry Moore and what that means for our state and region, the things they can bring back. I guess, will they have those elections within the House coming up pretty soon? And what are your thoughts on Shamari Figures and what kind of role he might have to start with?
As far as it goes with the committee assignments, I mean, there's an organizational session. There's a lot of things. Now you'll start hearing who the chairman are going to be. They'll get a lot of this lined up beforehand. But I think there's still waiting for some races. Believe it or not, here it is, like the 20th of November, and the election was the 5th. They're still waiting for some races to be called in, like California and some places. And I think once we have a definitive idea of who's going to be in what seat, then you will start seeing more of that movement. But I know we got it looks like Johnson's going to be speaker and Scalise is going to be the majority leader and Hakeem Jeffries is going to be the minority leader. But that stuff will start figuring stuff out over the next few weeks.
And another kind of underrated storyline is we talk about these nominees for different cabinet positions for Trump. That's kind of taking all the oxygen out. But you mentioned early this week or late last week about appropriations. And was it Rogers or Palmer who was expecting that lead spot in appropriations, and then they ended up not winning that little special election?
It wasn't appropriations. It was the House policy chairman, which
that's right, policy. Yeah.
Yeah. Gary Palmer had been the House policy committee chairman for a few Congresses now. And, he ran this last cycle, but he had initially ran. There was a special election when Spencer Baucus stepped down, and he self term limited. He said, "I'm not going to run," but I think he said 3 or 4 terms, and then that expired through this last term. And he says, "Well, God called," and he said this literally, "God called me to come back. I have this House policy chairmanship that I could do some good things. Because now that Republicans have control of Congress and you have a Republican in the White House and a likely Republican Senate, and I want to come back and do this and fill this obligation." And then he loses his election to Kevin Hearn of Oklahoma. And I think about that now, and you got to wonder, will he walk away from that seat after this term? I think there's two. I know we're way ahead of ourselves here on 26, but I think there could be two seats up for grabs. I think Mike Rogers, if it's a Democrat year, is not going to come back as ranking member, and I think Gary Palmer may go do something else as well.
Wow, that's something to think about as we head into this next election cycle. Also, on the state level and Senate pro tem, Greg Reed, of course, announced he's stepping down yesterday. Ivy's office announces he's going to help her with the workforce, trying to get that workforce participation up. What's going on there in the Senate with the pro tem election?
Pro tem elections will be on December 3rd. My understanding of this is if there's two candidates, Garland Gunter of Coleman and Steve Livingston, both have been a guest on this program or my program. There's a real push for Steve Livingston to get the job. They had the votes yesterday. They probably would have announced it yesterday. And there's sort of a silly little game being played here by a lot of the Republican caucus, I'm afraid. But hey, watch for this, Dalton. If Steve Livingston is elected to be pro tem, the majority leader seat will open up. And there's two candidates to watch for, April Weaver up in Shelby County and David Sessions of Mobile County, perhaps vying for that spot.
Wow. Well, the show to listen to for all the latest info on that is coming up here in minutes. The Jeff Poor Show. Jeff, thanks for coming on with me today.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right. Jeff Poor Show on the way. Mobile Mornings. Back at it tomorrow morning. 6 a.m., Dan Brennan, myself, Dalton Orwick, will be back on with you. April Marie Fogle in for Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile today. Stay tuned.